Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahavirayam Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastamavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay. Let's see, top of page 6. The materialists do not know that the family, society, and friendship here in the material world are only shadows, and thus they become attached. Naturally, their hearts are always burning, but in spite of all inconvenience, they still work to maintain such false families because they have no information of the real family association with Krishna. Right? So it's important in this that we're comfortable with that this is the reality. Right? It means there's no use in arguing, no, but what about, and all these kind of things. Because Kapila Muni is, we have to remember, is talking to his mother. Right? So this is not like, you know, they're sitting on top of Loka and that, and that, okay, well, that they're brahmacharis, but then there's, you know, we're talking about answering the question of Devahuti. Right? So, and here is someone who has lived their family life, and quite well. And so then, from that, then we see is that it's important that that's understood. Because like we said, if you think if it's real, you're not going to do so well in the play. If you understand it's a drama, and what kind of drama, what your part is in the drama, what everybody else's part is in the drama, how everybody works, what's the hierarchy, how it all functions, then you'll have a good play. Right? Because the point is it about saying it's real, or is it about getting the experience?
Getting the experience.
Okay, let's say somebody is watching a play or a movie. Do we say it's real? Right? No. But do we care if it's real or not? Is it really important that there are gorillas, you know, big enough to climb up the Empire State Building? No. But the point is by watching it, you get an experience. So whether it's real or not, the experience is there if you get involved. So the point is whether it's a real family or it's not a real family, if you pay the part well and properly as you're supposed to according to duties, the experience that you're looking for, that's how you'll get it. And how you won't get it is thinking it's real. That's the first thing. Those who demand that we have to take into consider the reality of it, they're the ones that aren't getting the experience. Devahuti played her part, so now she can talk about it in this way. You can say, okay, well, when I have a flying palace and all this and that, then I... No, but the point is she followed it. That's why she can look at it in this way so comfortably. Right? If we're unwilling to look at it from this viewpoint means that we have an attachment, we actually think the material world can make us happy. And there's a good chance, not necessarily, but there's a good chance that things aren't going the way we want them to. And so it's just hope against hope that, well, if it doesn't work here, then what do I have? Right? Rather than, it hasn't gone well because it's not real. So therefore, now follow the rules, play the part, then what you're looking for, you'll get. But we're so determined that I'm not following the rules, I'm making up my own rules, and by that system, I will be happy. But it can't be. It's already defined. Kapila Muni is not, this is not an opinion. This is the guy who made it. Right? Right? It's his energy. He is everything. Right? Because we're, what are we in this whole calculation? We're the jiva. Right? We're not in control of the senses. Right? That's controlled by the devatas. And that potency to do that is coming from the Lord. So therefore, we're not actually doing anything. The Lord's doing everything. And then he's saying, this is how he does things. And then we're saying, no, no, no. Just because I have feelings, it will change the whole thing. Right? Does that make sense? That's why Hollywood is popular. Right? You generally find other parts of the world when they make films and stuff, it happens to be a little bit more, you know, it's not as insane. Right? Okay. Well, if you check on the bench upstairs, you might find something also. If you check on the bench. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, if you're not making it for a Western audience, the Chinese movies always have bad endings. Always. Everybody dies. Right? Because that's just reality. Right?
But they're all doing their duty.
They're all doing their duty.
Who needs to watch that?
That's what I said. Hollywood said, you know, the guy just has the feeling, and then because of that, he's, you know, it all happens. No? Yeah, that's nice. So that's why we watch it, because there's some hope. See, there's hope. I can be happy in the material world. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the hope. So the idea is that they're getting the results that you would get by following your duties. Right? There they follow the duties, but because leadership doesn't follow their duties, therefore it doesn't work out. Right? And what do you call it? Hollywood movies, you don't even bother with the authorities. You just do what you want. Is that make sense? Yeah, so the idea is that when we accept that this is the way the material world is, then we can learn, okay, so what should I do? Does that make sense? Like if I have a can of beans, and I say this is a can of beans, right? And you try to say, no, 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 this is a more sophisticated, more that, this is, how you say, how would you say it, hot cuisine? Hot, H-A-U-T-E. How do you say H-A-U-T-E? H-A-U-T-E. Huh? I don't know. It's what's walking down the runway in Paris, you know, at least in America, they call it hot couture.
Hot cuisine.
Hot.
Yes.
Hot cuisine.
Hot.
Okay, yeah, that's a funny accent. Yeah, no, it's a Yankee accent. Hot cuisine. Okay, and then we're trying to say this can of beans is hot cuisine. Okay? So that's the whole thing. You're saying, no, it's just a can of beans. And you're going on arguing like that. So the point is, he understands a can of beans, then what can I do with a can of beans? Does that make sense? You know? Or another Western example. Let's say I have a sow's ear. You understand a sow's ear? You don't know the saying, you can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear. So, a sow is a female pig. So if you take an ear of a female pig, you can't make a silk purse out of it. But I'm arguing, no, I can make a silk purse out of it. So is that, have you ever heard of anybody? It's just like this. No, we can be happy. Give me the names. Who's become happy? Right? We don't know of anybody. It's never happened. Right? There's the talk that you will be. You know what I'm saying? There's the talk that you will be, but that's where it ends. So the whole idea is that when it's accepted, then you can actually look at it and figure out, okay, where do I fit into this? How do I play the part? Then it works very nicely. And it's a sophisticated drama because it includes the whole universe. So we're thinking, no, this is my drama and I'm the lead role. No, we have our part in a universal production. Right? It has to include Lord Brahma, Shiva, Indra, all the other devatas, you know, to, you understand? All the swatas, sadhyas, all the, you know, leaders in the world and all the various areas, getting down to it, and then at the end of it, there's us, right? We're the guy that takes out the garbage after dinner, right? That's where we fit into this whole picture. Does that make sense? So, when that's understood, then it has meaning. Then we can, you know, take out the garbage with dignity. Right? You know, do it on time, do it nicely, not spill anything like that. Right? Does that make sense? And wash our hands afterwards. Yes. Okay? Yeah? Okay. So they still work to maintain such fault because they have no information of the real family association with Krishna. So now as soon as you bring it in line with Krishna, you're dealing with the illusory elements, but you're getting the effect of dealing with proper things. Does that make sense? So whatever you're looking for in the material will be gained, and you'll develop the spiritual at the same time. Right? That's what's going to happen. So the whole point is we have our idea that this is how I'm going to get. I make my plans, I'm going to be happy like this. But the Vedas show, no, you're going to be happy like that. And we argue, no, it's like this. But the point is everybody who has become happy, it's been like that, not like this. Right? That's the whole point. This never gives happiness, that does. Right? So this idea is that, oh yes, it's something else, but that's something else, you have to go to the spiritual world. That's the something else. Right? That is not found here. Does that make sense? Family life within the kingdom of illusory energy, Maya, is just like a prison for the eternal living entity. In a prison, a prisoner is shackled by iron chains and iron bars. Similarly, a conditioned soul is shackled by the charming beauty of a woman, by her solitary embraces and talks of so-called love, and by the sweet words of his small children. Thus he forgets his real identity. Footnote 1. Srila Prabhupada makes the same point in his purport to Bhagavad Gita 3:39. It is said in the Manusmriti that lust cannot be satisfied by any amount of sense enjoyment, just as fire is never extinguished by a constant supply of fuel. In the material world, the center of all activities is sex, and thus this material world is called Maitunya Agara, or the shackles of sex life. In the ordinary prison house, criminals are kept within bars. Similarly, the criminals who are disobedient to the laws of the Lord are shackled by sex life. Advancement of material civilization on the basis of sense gratification means increasing the duration of the material existence of a living entity. Right? So the idea is in the material world, we're looking at it that if we increase the sense gratification, we'll make it better. But in reality, you just increase the amount of time that you're in the material world and the sufferings that will be there. Right? You know, it would be like the example is given. You know, if we use this example, that the prisoner is shackled by the iron bars or iron chains. So we're saying is that freedom is more bars. Right? I'm not sure how you say it in German, but I'm sure they have a way of saying it. They're good at saying this one. Right? Does that make sense? So the idea is that I put more bars, it'll be better. Right? But the whole point is it's not about that. It's about, because engaging the senses, getting results from that, but we're talking about that it's going to happen the way we want it, and that we're the enjoyer of it. Does that make sense? But the whole point is our nature is we enjoy connected with someone else. You know what I'm saying? We're happy, okay, nice, but if someone else is happy and we're connected with that person, then we're actually more happy. You understand? So that's our nature. Right? So it's just like, the parents is enjoying being a parent, but when the child is happy, that's when the parents are most happy. Right? I do hope these examples work. This morning they didn't seem to work. Yeah? Yes? They work, okay. Good. Does that make sense? That's our nature. So when Krishna's happy, that's actually when we're going to be happy. Because most of the time, it's just like we're saying, if you have a nice play, you're happy and sad according to the happiness and sadness of the actors. When the actor is happy, then you're happy. When they're sad, you're sad. When they're heroic, then you feel that feeling, or, you know, like that. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. You're taking part in something, and that's actually where happiness comes from. But you can only play the part properly when it's in connection with Krishna. Right? Otherwise, you can't actually play the part well. Right? Because it's his play. Right? You can't change the lines and do things as you like. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yes.
So my happiness is connected with relationships.
Yes, it's connected with relationships. So that's why Varnashram is defining relationship. Generally, it's just seen as rules. But the point is if you know relationship, you just say, try to make them happy, you know, or, you know, this is happening, so you should consider this or that. So then the person who has an understanding of relationship then knows what to do, right? But now let's say you don't understand relationship, therefore, I have to say, you should do this, you should do that, you should do all these different things. Right? And there's a general tendency, you do it, and then it didn't quite work. Because it's not about the rules. That's the rules are to express the actual primary aspect, right? The feelings, those are expressed through the rules. So the better you know the rules, the easier it is, more comfortable it is to express it. But it's not that the rules themselves is what makes it happen, right? That's the modern thing, is you think, oh, I got this and that, and I learned this and that trick, so now everything's going to be successful. No, it depends on your mood. You know what I'm saying? There's a good chance Casanova does well even if he has nothing. You know what I'm saying? Let alone if he has stuff, right? You know, but other people, they got all the stuff, but it's not happening. Why not? Right? Because the primary aspect's not there, yes.
There are only rules for people who see them that way, like, otherwise it's just a form.
It's a form. So the rules are there, so at least the technique is right. Yeah. And the rules are to guide so that you actually are aware of the primary.
Yeah.
But the primary is the main thing, so that's pretty straightforward. Right? We're the soul. You know, we're not God. God is God. God's Krishna. We have a relationship with Him, right? You know, that in the mood of service. We want to be happy. Then Him being complete whole, if He's happy, we're automatically happy. Right? So therefore, if we bring our life in line with Him, then we're actually happy. Right? That was what? 45 seconds. Okay? Now, the difficulty is all the technique to express that. And much of the time it's that, you know, but why this? Why not something else, you know? Because, you know what I'm saying?
I'm just thinking of the meaning of the word rule. It's when, if you don't want to do that, it's a rule. If you don't want to do it.
Yeah.
If you want
to do it, it's not a rule. Yeah, no. So that's the whole thing. So Varnashram, those who understand it, it's not a rule. Right? Those who understand it, it's not a rule.
Yeah.
It's just how things work. All it is the like Prabhupada's quoting here, Manu. Manu is only documenting what works and what are the facts. And so those who live that lifestyle, it's just how you do things.
Yeah, it's not rules.
It's not rules. But for someone who doesn't know, then you need to have a set of rules to start from. Then you practice and you learn and you contemplate and you ask and things like that. But then for those who... And so it's rules that you want to learn and practice. But then for those who don't appreciate it, then they're just overburdening rules.
Yeah, you can see the consciousness of the person has a problem with rules and considers them as rules in the first place.
Yes. Yeah, like that. But at the same time, as someone who doesn't consider them rules in their own life, when they're discussing with others, then they'll present what are the rules.
Yeah.
Because only because they don't know. If you know, what's the point to explain? You know what I'm saying? Just like, let's say you want somebody's in an advanced math class. You know, let's say some kind of undergraduate, you know, physics course or something like that. They just refer to things. So we take this formula or this theory or this like that, and then we do this with it. Right? But if you write it on the board, it takes out the whole board. And I mean literally the whole board. But everybody knows what's going on. But if you're going to start this, you know, in first grade, you know, you're going to start a little simpler. Does that make sense? But it's something they're willing to learn, it goes. But otherwise, if not, it's just such a huge headache. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the whole thing. Is that's what we're mentioning, is that if it's just accepted, it's not a headache anymore. Just like if you accept the instructions of the spiritual master and surrender to Krishna, then the ocean of material existence, which is impossible to get over, then becomes reduced down to the size of a cast hypocrite. So if we accept these instructions of Kapila Muni, then the whole thing becomes very simple and easy. But if we're fighting with it, then it doesn't. Yeah. Okay. So, you're saying. Similarly, the criminals who are disobedient to the laws of the Lord are shackled by sex life. Right? Because that's what keeps them involved. Because now, what's the problem? The problem is that it means it's... Why pick out sex life? Why not pick out something else? You know, stamp collecting. You know, something else, right? You know? Like that. You know, so it's that you're taking the field of activity, right? Which is based on the body. And so this activity engages that field to the greatest extent, right? All the aspects of the field, all the senses, all you know, the gross, the subtle, everything is all absorbed there, right? And so that's why then it's targeted, because that's what keeps one the most on the bodily platform. And then by it, then we see everything expands. Right? Does that make sense? So that's what it goes in. It's just like this. Okay, if you have a one-night stand, do you need to change your life much? No. Right? Because there's no sense of possession. Right? But why would there be a one-night stand? And it would be left at that. Right? No one's impressed. Right? So, if somebody's impressed, then, you know, they want to take it further. And so then there's a sense of attachment, a sense of possession. So now, instead of your funny little, you know, weirdo apartment, then you have to get something bigger. You know, and have some facility, like, you know, sheets on your bed or something. You know, it means you have to expand. You know, or wash the sheets, or, you know what I'm saying? Like that. So then it expands from there. And then you set something up for two people to live, but then by sex life, then it becomes, you know, three, four, you know, depending upon who you are, and then it just keeps going, right? Does that make sense? Yeah. No? So that's the thing, is it's the center of the whole material expansion, right? If there's no sex, do you actually need the fashion industry? Right? Do we need anything more than a tractor to get around? Right? You go out in the village, people are riding around on a tractor, you know, or a horse and cart, quite comfortably. In fact, the last bit when you're going home on a horse and cart, you don't have to drive. The horse knows where to go. It's only when you're going out, then there's a problem. But once he figures out that you're going back, then you don't have to drive. He takes care of it. Like, you know, now they're trying to work out a car that drives itself, right? You know, so the horse and cart already used to do that. You know, that was, you know.
Fully automatic,
right? Yeah. It's slow. But life, you know, why does life have to be so fast? Yeah, because, you know, you're comfortable anyway. Right? You know, it's not that you have to get home on time because you're not going to miss anything. You know, it's not like you got to get back for your favorite show at this time or something. Right? So it works. So so it's simple. Right? If you have a, like we said, if you have a bunch of brahmacharis run, you don't need much. Right? Just a little bit basic. It should be balanced. It should be this and that. But you don't need a whole lot. Right? You need aesthetics. Nature is already aesthetic. You know, you don't have to worry about a whole lot. Does that make sense? You know, the people are pious because they're simple. They're pious. They have knowledge detachment. They already look good. Right? No? Demigods are coming down to these Brahmin hermitages where they have nothing, hardly dressed in so many things, simple and all that, and they're trying to get the attention of those ladies. Right? Right? They already got the fanciest ladies in the universe. Right? Because of the piety, because of that. So that's the whole point, is it's already, everything's already there. Renunciation is the greatest wealth in the material world. Right? Sex life is not. Otherwise, if sex life is the most opulent thing, then pigeons should be considered the most wealthy living entities. Right? And we generally don't see in the city square on the top of the column that there's a pigeon. You know? No? Generally some general, something else, you know, like that. Never a pigeon. Yes, but that's the whole point, is that I'm there, sitting on top of the statue, now there's a pigeon. You know, so then the pigeon lets the statue know what he actually thinks. So, you know, you think this is great, hey, you know. Yeah, that's a good point. Yes. Yes. Okay. Therefore, this lust is the symbol of ignorance by which the living entity is kept within the material world. While one enjoys sense gratification, it may be that there is some feeling of happiness, but actually that so-called feeling of happiness is the ultimate enemy of the sense enjoyer. Because there's a fleeting moment, and then you spend the rest of your life trying to get back that moment. So that's the whole point. So why doesn't that moment come back? Is that never, the moment was never there. You understand? There's the projection that this will be. Right? But once you're actually dealing with it, then it's the same old, same old. Does that make sense? That's the difficulty.
This is due to hope.
This is due to hope. Yeah, we're hoping that we will be happy, we'll enjoy it. So that's why it's saying don't put your hope there. Know that being the soul, it's not going to be found here. It's in the spiritual world. But the point is if you're acting on that transcendental platform, there are real feelings. But those feelings have to be brought in line with God consciousness. Right? Then it works. But if we're going to try to separately try to enjoy these, they're always going to give. Whatever a little bit is there, you get a lot the other way. Right? So it has to be balanced. So however, how much you are happy materially, you have to be that unhappy materially. Right? They go together. So that's how you choose your lifestyle. Brahmins don't like a lot of unhappiness, so therefore their material happiness is very small also. So a little bit of happiness, a little bit of unhappiness. It's a range that they can, for someone working in that, it's the same amount, the same experience, but it's on a lower level, it's easier to deal with. Well, the Kshatriyas, then they like to, you know, like that. So there's this huge amount, but there's a huge amount the other way also. You know, the Brahmin does something, it doesn't work out, okay, I gotta try again, study more, be humble, like that. You know, Arjuna does something, it doesn't work out, he starts a fire, he's going to enter the fire and end his life. You know, so it's a little bit more extreme. You know. So therefore, when it comes to stories, if it's about spiritual things, you hear about Brahmins. But if it's about material things, you hear about Kshatriyas. Does that make sense? Yes. Okay. Thus he forgets his real identity. In this verse, the words Srinam Asatinam indicate that womanly love is just to agitate the mind of a man. Actually, in the material world, there is no love. Both the woman and the man are interested in their sense gratification, means their own. Means to call it love when this person is satisfying my senses and I'm attached to that experience. So I call that love. When in actuality it has nothing to do with me as the soul and them as the soul. It's just that my conditioning likes what benefit I get by being in touch with their conditioning. Yes.
Together you serve the Lord of his companions.
Right.
You still love each other. Can we call it?
That's getting closer.
Yes.
No, that's way worse than what they're talking about here, right? You know. You understand? Because if you're cooperating in Krishna consciousness, who's cooperating?
Everybody, the soul, the body, the mind.
No, but the whole point is this. Okay, let's try a different approach. Who cooked dinner? Okay, and how was that done? I mean, so this wasn't winter time in Sweden where they're burning the furniture or something. Okay. Okay. So you're cooking. Okay. So did the pots cook? The pots cooked. And then great. Then that you just walk up to the kitchen door. Okay, I'll take this, and this. You know, can you make it ready in 20 minutes? You know, I gotta go. I'm on a tight schedule here. And then you walk
okay,
off.
And then. Huh? What? I heard something else.
Oh, I see. Oh, you mean because the heat? Then it's. Yeah, I think it's over 40 today. Okay. So, if I was trying an ice pack sitting on your head, you know, bring a cooler, you know, with a bunch of ice packs, take one out, put it on your head, and when that melts, then put on the next one. Okay. So the pots aren't cooking. Pots, pans, fire, all these different things. The ingredients themselves aren't doing the cooking. Okay, but your hands, okay, you could say that's, but who's guiding the hands? That's guided by the muscle, which is guided by the electricity, is guided by the life airs. Who moves the life airs? That would be the subtle body. Who's moving the subtle body? That would be the consciousness. Okay?
And
so the point, and but keep going, so brain hasn't melted. Okay. So that's, see, awake now. So then the point is who's conscious?
The soul.
The soul. So actually, it's the soul who's cooking. You understand? But at the same time, it's the desire of the soul that's cooking, because anything below the soul has no desire. It's all dead matter. Right? When we say the 24 material elements, we mean 24 dead as a doornail material elements. You know what I'm saying? Your mind and a doornail, they're both just as alive as each other. Right? You understand? Yeah. So it's Krishna's potency that makes everything appear alive. Right? So it's according to the desire of the living entity. So because the living entity identifies with it, he's called the doer. And he's called the Purusha, the enjoyer. But in actuality, it's all happening by Krishna's energy. So then, ultimately, you can say it's actually Krishna's doing all these things. But he's doing it only according to your desire, And so he's beyond that. It's not of his interest. Right? So you have to be able to accommodate that the living entity is the doer, but at the same time they're not the doer. And the Lord is the one doing everything, but at the same time he's not. So you can put all those four together at once and your brain doesn't melt, then you're doing good. Okay? Does that make sense? So, therefore, back to the question. Do you see how that applies in your question? Right? So if one performs one's duties because it's Krishna consciousness, then it's you as a soul that are trying to be Krishna conscious and you're cooperating with another soul to be Krishna conscious. Right? You're in the material world, you have to get out. Someone else is in the material world, they have to get out. Right? But the element of conditioning is attachment to family life. Okay? So now if you want to actually get out of family life, you have to reduce family life down to something that you can focus on. Does that make sense? Therefore, then there is marriage. Because if one just moves around freely, then how will... Because there's all, oh, this one's a bozo, this one's better, this is that. You never think, no, this is actually how it is. So in family life, you can see material world for what it is. You think, oh, this is not nice, I prefer the other. That's because the other is more illusory. Family life is you're reducing the illusion down to something worshipful. Right? So therefore, one gets married. So there. And then who do you marry? Someone with a compatible conditioning. Because the point is you have to make the family functions work. Right? And so you can only do that with someone who's compatible. So this soul has a compatible conditioning. So the two souls work together to apply their conditioning cooperatively so that they can remove the attachments that they have. So in there, then you can actually have some feelings, but it's between the souls, not between the bodies. It's expressed through the body, but it's not actually the bodies, because the bodies are dead matter.
Then when we say that who is getting married, usually
that's who's getting married. You're marrying bodies, but the souls are thinking they're getting married. That's why Prabhupada didn't, you know, when people bring up soulmates, he would just laugh. You know, there's no such thing. It's just condition mates, right? Mind mates, yeah, like that. You know, so it just happens to be. You understand? So you have to know which perspective you're looking at, that the soul's not the doer, and which one he is. Right? He thinks he is, and that's the problem why we're here. So therefore, what he thinks he is, that you have to make compatible. And that's your medium to work with. But you have to use it in line with the rules of Krishna consciousness. Then those same identities that bind you into the world and those attachments, those are going to be the cause of your becoming free until you come to the point where you understand you're the soul. But as the soul, you have to, and as a person, you have to express yourself and interact. So how are you going to do that in the material world except through your material body? So what's going to be the basis of the materialist and the advanced devotee being able to interact? Duties, right? Through the body, but the duties. You don't agree to duties, there is no question of community. There's no duties, there's no community. People talk about community, they don't talk about duties, obligations. No, it's all, oh no, but we should just be this, we should be free, everyone should have a say. Okay, let's say everyone should have a say. What's the method we'll use that everybody can say? Because generally the person that says everybody should have a say is the one who does most all the talking. Right? We should all get together and have a meeting, and then that person will try to define everything, set the direction, try to get everyone to think the way they're thinking. And that's hearing everybody. So in other words, what they're saying is, everybody should have the opportunity to think like I do. So if they all come to a meeting, then they can hear me speak, and they can therefore see the logic of it, and then take that up, and then we'll have a wonderful community. Right? But I wouldn't say that in a meeting, otherwise it won't go down well. Okay? Does that make sense? So that's then what you're doing. And then because that liberates you. But it has to be that you're doing it for Krishna that you're getting bhakti. Right? So in other words, the soul is cooperating together to perform the prescribed duties that will liberate you from the material world, and that those are being done to please Krishna that will get you bhakti and into the spiritual world. But the relationship that you play here isn't the relationship you'll have in the spiritual world. Right? If you want to go to Vaikuntha, then husband and wife can go as husband and wife. Yeah, that's why we don't worry about that so much. Yeah. So, but there it's a matter of that's what you're playing here. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing. It is, in the spiritual world, it'll be a different scenario. So whatever that is, now that's a permanent relationship. Right? But as having that element of friendship, that will be there. You know, that spirit of cooperation, that will remain. But what will actually be your relationship, that's a whole different thing. That's why, as a group, one is performing service, generally as a group, they will be together in the spiritual world. It's not just randomly here and there. Just like Prabhupada said, there'll be an ISKCON in the spiritual star. So the devotees of ISKCON, they'll be together performing service to Krishna together. But you don't have to worry, the temple commander won't still be the temple commander there. That makes sense? Yeah? Yeah, so that's why you have to get used to liking everybody, because when you go back to Godhead, they're all still going to be there. But in their natural purified states, you don't have to worry about. We won't bring that up so much. Okay. Sorry?
I'm going to be there. I'm not going there.
Yes, so then you'll never get there. They both stay devotees, okay. Both the woman and the man are interested in their sense gratification. For sense gratification, a woman creates an illusory love. And the man becomes enchanted by such false love and forgets his real duty, right? Because the whole point is because it's based on sense gratification, right? So both want sense gratification. Right? So as the man provides facility for the woman according to how she is pleased, therefore then she reciprocates by generating that what the prophet called it? Illusory love. Right? And because that's what he's hoping for. And so then he's satisfied in it. Right? And by that illusory love, he then, as like it mentioned before, naturally, their hearts are always burning, but in spite of all inconvenience, they still work to maintain such false families. Right? So it works very nicely. You understand? So that's the thing, is the woman's generating this false sense of love, and the man is buying it hook, line, and sinker. Right?
Good team.
It's a good team, yeah. It works very well. Right? Does this make sense? So that's what's going on, because one is showing according to the... It's not about, here's the soul, and then you deal on that platform. Right? You're dealing on the conditioned platform. So that's the whole point. As one gets purified, one actually starts to deal more on the spiritual platform. That's why, generally, one would expect in natural vanaprasthas, things will be less emotionally trippy. Because it's just a matter of you have sadhana and everybody knows what it's supposed to do and this and that. As long as everybody does their duties, it works very smoothly. But grihastha life, even if everyone's doing their duties and it's running smoothly, then smooth is boring, right? So there has to be some trippiness just to make smooth nice.
Diversity,
yeah. Right? But because the man is enchanted by this illusory love, Therefore, he can't understand what happens, what's going on, why it's changing. She said she likes it so much, now she's saying she hates it. Which means the same, yes. But the problem is because of the words, they're not seeing the category. In other words, I like it so much, therefore it annoys me so much now because it's the same thing. I want something different. Then when I get something different, then I can love it just as much as before. But the man, because he works on mechanics, then he's just thinking, okay, she doesn't like this and this and that. And so then it ends up he does nothing. Right? Because everything he tries to do, she stops every one of it. And then he says, you didn't want me to do anything. And he's saying, what do you mean? You're supposed to do it all. You know? When you go to do this, then you go to do this, then this stops. So then you go to do that, that's the stop. You know, so it's just, this is, the whole point is that's the variety. Right? No? Okay. Lights are going on. Yes.
Life is real drama.
Yeah. So the whole point is it's a drama anyway. Just do you want to accept that it's a drama, or you do want to say this is real? You want to say, no, I am King Lear. What do you mean? You know? No, it's not. It's just it's a drama. Right? But in the stage, you have to do your part. So in the material world, we're on stage. Does that make sense? In the spiritual world, that's real. Those are real relationships. Right? Because the relationship means the experience you get from it. It's not important. It's just like this thing. You have a man and a woman, and the interaction and the experience they get is very nice. Now let's say they have no technically legal relationship. You know, I wouldn't want to shock anybody here, right? You know, so. Right? Right? Okay? So now let's say they have a formalized legal relationship. But if that experience is not there, is it considered good? No. So the other ones, this is good, let's get married. The other guys, they're already married. Hey, let's get divorced. Right? Does that make sense? So it's the whole thing. It's not about the duties. It's about the love is there or the love is gone. Right? Well, if you perform the duties and everything goes nicely, then you naturally get attached to what works. Right? That's the whole point. If husband and wife both perform their duties very nicely, then as a unit, it works very well. Who's not going to get attached to something that works well? You understand? So if there's not the natural spontaneous attraction, that will be because of it working nicely. Therefore, duties are important. Because of the spontaneity, you can't guarantee it's going to be all the time. Therefore, it has to come down to the duty.
Duty brings satisfaction.
Yes, it does. It's because it's motive goodness, it takes time. But once it's there, it's stable, it's sustainable. Motive passion and ignorance is not sustainable. Right? Passion you get and you lose. Ignorance you never get, you think you will get. Or what you do get isn't worth getting. Bingo. Like we were discussing. Limburger cheese sandwich. Right? Better something else. Okay? When there are children as a result of such a combination, the next attraction is to the sweet words of the children. And then you wonder what happened when they turn into teenagers. Yes. Right?
Yes.
Yeah, and then it's going to be, what do you call it? Then the grandchildren, then you can get some experience again, you know. Just to get you through, you know, until, you know, how you say, until next life, when you can think, yes, maybe there is going to be something, right? You know, like that. Yeah, yes, like that. So, but you die thinking that there's hope. Right. So the thing is the sweet words of the children, but all this is that the nature of the affection of the wife, of the children, all these different things, that's all Krishna's energy. So that's actually what the false thing is. It's not from that dead matter. It's not coming from the soul. Right? And that's what you have combined. It's actually coming from the Lord. So what it is we're looking for in these relationships is actually the Lord. So then, that's the point. The family cooperates together to come to that realization. So they engage their nature in the Lord's service, and that will bring them to that realization. Right? So that's what you're trying to do. Because it's actually Krishna. Is to say, no, but it's the family. No, that's an illusion. It's never the family. Never was, never will be. Right? My family makes me so happy. You know, well, how can you say that? No, but it's the family is dead matter. Krishna's potency animates it and makes it look and gives you experiences. Otherwise, as we said, your family is just as dead as, you know, anything else in your house. You know what I'm saying? Yes.
If it's Krishna's potency and something else is, everything else is Krishna's potency, then why does that family like potency of Krishna makes most people, is there more Krishna potency in that particular thing?
Is there more
of Krishna's potency in that particular form? Or because
so are you saying, is it better to be a grihastha because there's more associated with Krishna's potencies in a variety of ways, so you can appreciate Krishna much more broadly than the poor brahmacharis and sannyasis who basically have very little a connection to Krishna. Yeah. One could take that as a, you know, to give that make oneself feel good. But no, the point is it's about Krishna. So these things are just Krishna's Brahman and Paramatma. So if this is so great that the whole material world is running after family life, and this is just the energies, that a slight amount from Brahman and Paramatma platforms, imagine what is the experience gained from the Bhagavan platform. That's unlimited.
That's also family life, like Krishna's pastime.
No, don't do that. Don't do that. Okay, well, let's do this. You have an opportunity to take a chunk. I'll give you a kilo of iron. I can give you a kilo of gold. Okay? Which is better to take? Okay, but if I say, well, no, but they're both metal. Why are you saying the gold is... It's the same. It's metal. You have to know where to compare and where not to compare. Because if you want to say family life there, let's look into this. Okay, is Krishna God or not? Okay, is he the origin of everything? Yes, no. Not a trick question. Okay? Okay? So, does that mean God has a father? No. Does he have a father? Does God have a father? No, we're not talking about God Father. We're talking about, does God have a father? Now just answer the question.
Yes.
Don't try to get tricky.
Yes.
Since God is the origin of everything, can he have a father?
No.
No. So that means he can't have a mother, he can't have a sister and a brother. Right, you know, so I'm saying, so he doesn't bother on getting on this train because the train is not meant for anybody. Right? Yes? No?
I don't remember trains in Krishna.
No, this was Peter, Paul and Mary. You understand? So, therefore, then that's why it's called pastimes. Because it's a matter of the experience of parental relationship, conjugal relationship, friendship relationship. But it's all connected to Krishna. So, in the spiritual world, they're still playing the same element as roles, but you can play it eternally. And you actually get the experience you're looking for because it's coming directly. It's not coming indirectly like in the material world, coming through dead matter. It's coming through transcendence. So now you want to compare the two? Yes, family life. You understand? It still works on the same principle. You're only being asked to do the same principle they do in the spiritual world. You understand? But there, you're dealing with eternal, because that is about Krishna's pleasure and Krishna directly as a person. So you want to experience, you want to serve Krishna by pleasing him through a particular kind of attachment. Right? Well, in the material world, you want to please yourself through a particular kind of attachment. So you can't compare them. It's like iron and gold. You can't compare.
So the aim is not to relate with Krishna in that way?
In which way?
It's more like we want to relate in that way and we put Krishna in there.
In the material world, it's aropia, means I have attachment for family life, therefore place Krishna consciousness, I place that family life on top of Krishna consciousness. But as you go, then it reverses. I want to please Krishna, but because I'm in the material world embodied, I'm in this situation as a grihastha, therefore I engage the grihastha, I use that as the medium to render my service to Krishna. So that's why you have to have the common point of the rules, of the duties. Because the point is the grihastha, the young grihastha is doing everything because they want to. But as soon as they find with time they're not getting out of it quite what they thought they would, they tend to not follow all the duties. And then the relationship starts to break down. But if someone continued doing the duties they did in the beginning all the way through, you'd find that it would go quite nicely. Does that make sense? So that's the common point. So that just makes it work. So if we're playing a drama, then do it right. Right? Where does that drama come from? That comes from the real families of the spiritual world. That's the real drama. Right? That's Broadway. We're off, you know, we're doing like a, you know, local, how you say, production, you know, in somebody's house, right, you know. That's the real one. We're engaged in one that it's not, but we're claiming that we're going to get the same results. But you only get the same results if you follow the same script. You know, follow the same rules of acting, follow the same, you know, you know. Does that make sense?
The way that Krishna is in our experience of family life is not as Bhagavan, it's as Brahman
Paramatma. Brahman is that experience. Paramatma is because you're doing the duties. Brahman is the mechanics of it. Masculine, feminine interact in the proper way, you'll get the experience. Whether this masculine and feminine should be interacting, that's the Paramatma platform. You know what I'm saying? So that is something. Yeah. So it's a high, means men and women can interact nicely and get some results. But that's always going to be temporary, very temporary. Does that make sense? But now if they formalize that as a marriage, then they can function on that Paramatma platform where that's more of a lasting thing. Does that make sense? So you have to, it means you're not, so the one is following the, see, Dharma means I'm following the nature because that's what I'm supposed to do. Right? Artha is I'm following because I want to get the results from doing that Dharma. Niti is I just want the results. I'm not really worried about anything higher. If I can do this and get the results, I'll do it. And I may get immediately. But the long term, then, is a problem. Does that make sense? Yeah? No? Okay. The love of the woman at home and the talk of the children make one a secure prisoner. And thus he cannot leave his home. Such a person is termed, in Vedic language, a grihamedi, which means one whose center of attraction is home. Right? So we're not saying that home isn't there. We're just saying it has to be connected with Krishna. Center has to be Krishna. And then you add these things, it's fine. But when we argue, no, but what about we want to just be real, we want real relate, then that's Griyamedi. Because then it's about the feelings and experience, it's not about Krishna. Right? But if you have Krishna, then what you get is so much greater. Okay. Grihastha refers to one who lives with family, wife, and children, but whose real purpose of living is to develop Krishna consciousness. Right? So real means it's practical, that's what you're doing. Right? Not at the end of life. Okay, so then at the end of life, you're trying to become Krishna conscious, but at the meantime, then one's a Griyamedi. Right? Because generally we take a Griyamedi means a gross, disgusting, materialist. But the Bhagavatam is giving an example of a very pious person as a Griyamedi. Right? But it's not about Krishna. One is therefore advised to become a Grihastha and not a Grihamedi. Right? So Grihastha means Krishna's the center. Grihamedi means Krishna's involved. Right? Grihamedi doesn't mean there's no Krishna, just Krishna's one of the side things. Like I have my family, and we have our job, we have social things, we have Krishna, we have vacations, we have all these things. It's just that it's all. No, if Krishna is the center, then all these things are around Krishna, yes.
We very often see devotees who do think they are gnostics and they do think they are Krishna conscious. And in their own way they might be, but they're much more suitable for the Grihamedi description.
Yes. That's why it's... Otherwise, why would it be discussed in Bhagavatam if it's not a pitfall for devotees?
We usually talk about intent. I'm talking about the intent. In your mind, you think you are offering this to Krishna. Then that's devotional service.
Yes, but that moment is. But what about the rest of it? in other words, Krishna is, whenever we feel it's practical, then we attend the program. Whenever, like that, some will remember more, some less, the offerings. Okay. So let's say they're regular in offerings, let's say they're regular at the morning program. Okay, so then that part, you could say, that is Grihastha. So then you could say the rest of it all becomes connected. Right? But if it's, they do these things when they like, so then what about outside of the offering and your japa and attending some temple programs? What about the rest of what the house and what's in it and what you do? That's where it becomes a Griyamedi. So the house is the center because it's about the house, and then you work in Krishna consciousness around that. Right? So that's Griyamedi. Now, the point is we're not saying that, the devotee is like a pure Griyamedi. Right? But we're also not saying that he's a pure devotee also. So there's mix. So there's some Grihastha, some Griyamedi. So the idea is to bring it up to the Grihastha platform and leave the Griyamedi. And then, does that make sense?
Some may also claim that the Grihastha part is possible only at the Vanaprastha stage. Because you become more renounced, more detached.
No, but the point is no, it can be done at the Grihastha point because that's where the practice is. Mm-hmm. Right? You could say that, but then the point is why do you eat?
The body.
Okay, for the body. Okay, so that's a slightly better answer. Notice that there's a moment pause to think about, okay, I eat what tastes good. I don't eat what doesn't taste good. Right? So the whole idea is that, okay, for sense gratification, that's the bottom line, okay? But then we're going to take, okay, we're maintaining the body. Why are you maintaining the body?
To serve Krishna.
To serve Krishna. So then why can't Grihastha life be engaged now? You just have to do that with every activity and every item in your house. The more stuff you have, the more difficulty it is to connect it all.
Because it requires training.
It requires training, yes.
Thank you.
So that's what the advantage is if you focus on these five direct devotional activities, the power of them is so great, despite the training, it still has effect. You still move forward. Right? But it doesn't... does that make sense? The more you're focused on them, the better your life goes. The less you're focused on them, the more difficulties are there. So that's depending, based primarily on the Bhagavad and then the support of the Pancharatrik, at least the basics, however much you understand. Right? Like that. If you want family life, community life to go more technically well, then you have to use the Vedic system. You know what I'm saying? If devotees were just talking about devotional service, and when they get together they talk about devotional service, then what's the problem? Right? You keep life very simple. Right? Get together, have some kirtan, discuss about Krishna, take prasad. You're done. Right? But when you have so many discussions about community, developing the community, and you know the individual and all this and that, the only way to connect those and engage it is by following the Vedic system and then connecting that to Krishna. But at the same time, that's going to be most likely the last thing that anybody wants to hear. But then that is illusion. Totally. Then you're talking about Griyamedi. So that's why these things are hard to establish. You know what I'm saying? You know, let's say you take community that is a community. Right? It's all about devotional service. But as community, they follow the duties. Everybody who's expert in a particular area, they use that expertise to benefit the other devotees. So therefore you have the community aspect. But their discussions are always about devotional service. They're not sitting around talking about community. They do community things. They sit around and talk about Krishna. Right? Those who sit around, and so those are grihasthas, and they have a community. Those who sit around talking about community don't have a community and tend to be grihamedis. Not always the case, but or, you know, well-intentioned individuals in illusion. Yeah. Even if they mean well. Because the only way you can do it is through the modern. Because if you say anything else, do you have community? Right? Because if you say, no, but yes, we can do it, then what are they going to quote? Generally two places. Pondicherry and the Amish. Right? And if you check, they're all having problems with the teenagers. Because so the whole thing is the Vedics is the only thing that can get beyond everything that's there. Beyond teenagers. Right? Because the Vedic, just let's put a little logic here. In the spiritual world, what age is everybody?
Teenagers.
Right? They're all teenagers. So therefore, then it's not a problem. The Vedic culture is designed for teenagers. That's why when you don't use it, you have problem with teenagers. Right? Practical. No?
It's not called rationalizing.
Rationalizing means they're not 16 years old.
Not everybody. Elder gopis and the Baba.
And so, how old are they?
They should be elder.
Elder. What does elder mean?
Beard is white hair. But then he's.
And so, how old should the gopis, elder gopis, be?
35, 40.
Okay, you're working on more of a European kind of.
Oh, you mean they should be like 30? They should be 30, 40.
No, not 30, 29. You know what I'm saying? So, point is this, it's older. To a teenager, anybody over, 20 is like, old. Over 30, it's like ancient. It's like you'd see them in a museum. That's where they should be, right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So the whole point is the Does that make sense? Okay, look at it like this. You're an elder gopi, okay? You got married when you were 12, right? And then you had your first kids not long after that. So by the time they're a teenager, how old are you?
25.
You're in the 20s. That's the advantage of the Vedic civilization. You're a mom and you're still young. You're still in your youth. So you have all your kids when you're in youth. Right? Not you waste your youth on your career and then you try to have family life when you're middle age. No, do all the family life when you're young. And then after that, then you worry about other things, you know, like yoga or something. So there are advantages.
So then I'm 40.
I can be in the 20s. Could be, I'm just saying, but the point is it doesn't matter. So that's the group you want to identify with.
No,
and
no,
take
it's just...
Okay, what about Vaikuntha?
They're teenagers.
How old does Vishnu look? Never met, okay. Well, according to Shastra, it says he always looks like a 16-year-old. That's just Vishnu Murtis. Okay? And if you are, most have forearms and look like the Lord, it's Swarupya. So how old do they look? So that means the whole of Vaikuntha, basically everyone's 16. One or two here and there might be different, but basically everybody looks like that. Right. So in other words, in Vaikuntha, in the spiritual world, there's no mid-age crisis. They just don't have the problem. Right? You know, they don't have to worry about old age homes, but you know, none of it, you know, at all.
And heavenly plants, they also quite...
Heaven, they always look 16 also.
Yes.
Nobody looks older than that.
And this idea of God whose beard is from God from us?
Must be. Like that. It's not, you know, from the transcendental platform. You might have to work on the heads, but... The armchair also probably comes from somewhere there. Okay, where were we? The Grihastha's concern is to get out of the family life created by illusion and enter into real family life with Krishna. Right? Because that's real family life. Because real family life is being in the pastimes with Krishna. Because the point is, just to take it a step further, because we say, well, because he's God, then how can he, you know, there is no such thing as family and all that. But the point is what is the principle? God means what? If Krishna's God, right, then that's the Vaikuntha element. But what's the highest manifestation of Bhagavan? Right? Sweetness. So that means it's about the relationships there. Right? Just like in Vaikuntha, it's about relationship. I is the living entity with God. But here it's about the love. So it's I love God in this way, as God. But now it's a matter of I love this person. Right? So it takes on a different flavor. So that's the whole point, is the experience that's gained it, that's the real thing. And then, because that's the highest, therefore, then Krishna does all this God stuff as expansion of Vasudev. Right? Because Balaram is his brother. But Vasudeva then has the thing, he can be the senior. So that expansion there, then you have that element of being the senior. Does that make sense? So this is the natural form, because otherwise if God's just going to be God and not have all this, then he'll just be God and just be Atmarama. But he expands his energies because he is rasa. He is all these relationships. So therefore, you can interact with him on that. That's the reality. That's Bhagavan. That's the Ichha Shakti. Right? Because otherwise, the others take on those flavors as they expand in the Paramatma and Brahman. Right here in the spiritual world, they're all aspects of Bhagavan. Right? But they're the arrangement for Bhagavan as a person to perform his pastimes. Right? You have to have an environment, you have to have a mentality, right? And you have to have forms, you have to have activities. All that has to be there. Right? So if I have the attitude, I have the form, I have the activity to be performed, then now I can perform pastimes with the Lord for his pleasure. So therefore, he expands as the Kriya and Jnana Shaktis to create the background or the support for the actual real thing of performing pastimes with the devotees. So that is the real reality. So that is real family. So the residents of Braja, that's real family. That's real community. Right? And what goes on here, that's a reflection of that, or a perverted reflection. Because there, it's real because they have all these relationships, but it's all about Krishna. But here, then it's all about, we have these relationships, it's all about us. That's why it's an illusion. So grihastha means you try to bring it back to its natural form, where you have families, but it's about Krishna. Or you have varnashram, it's about Krishna. The spiritual world is about Krishna, while here it's about ourselves. That's why it's an illusion. So when you say, no, but what about the family? What about the real? What about, you know, our needs? But who's this? Who, this an illusion? Who's this we? Yes.
So when emotions are generated by the experience gained by the interaction, in the case of the grihastha,
right,
then because we see the connection to Krishna, then the emotions are spiritualized?
They become spiritualized. You become free because you're doing because your duties. And so you're getting purified by that. So that means you're getting freed from the attachment at the same time you're getting the experience of the attachment. Well, if you only act for attachment, then occasionally, if you don't follow the duties, you're pious, then you'll get the material results of the interaction, of the emotions and the experience. But you won't get the spiritual benefit. So since, you understand? And since the work is the same, why not get the spiritual benefit? And even you take the materialist who doesn't follow the Vedic recommendations, they still have to work just as hard. You follow the Vedic, you don't follow the Vedic, it's just as hard. Right? Just like this. Okay, for an example, in the Vedic, is there need of roses on Valentine's Day? In the Vedic, no. Because, so, do you understand? Means as that's there, but that's a rule. You know, Valentine's Day comes along, it doesn't matter what, hell or high water, if there's no roses, there's a problem. Right? That's a rule. Right? Now, everybody's trying to do this, so one, it's great business. But two, it means if you're not there early, you don't make the thing, and so like that, then you've got a problem. And then if you do one later ones, then there are people who have them just for you because they know that there are people that didn't get the early ones and they've just arranged it perfectly for it. They'll deliver it everything for like three times the price. You know what I'm saying? So there is so much like the Vedic culture doesn't have that. Therefore, there's just the regular expression. So you don't have to have this great anxiety that once a year gets packed in because it's spread out over the year. There's always interactions and doing something nice and this and that. You know what I'm saying? Because here it's like, you know, the roses will work. But in the Vedic culture, saris work great.
Not in the Vedic culture.
Sorry?
It's not only in the Vedic culture.
Most Israelis are into getting saris.
Devotees,
is that their? That's the point.
But
is
they still doing bhajan?
Then they're, you know, working even harder. You know what I'm saying? So the thing is it's but that's coming from the Vedic. So because that's there, then the other one, you know, however, if you just even tried, it works. You know, but on Valentine, are you getting long-stemmed roses? Are you getting two dozen? at least a dozen? You know, have the thorns been taken off? Are they, you know, that? Yeah, so... Yeah, so the whole point is it's just there's an attempt, so it works. Because all the rest of it's there. That's the advantage of the Vedic. So even if you want to add in that as an excuse, then why not? You know, if Thursday's not enough to get something, then you have Valentine's. Does that make sense? You know, so it could work, but it's got the balance. But for the karmis, they only have that. And that's why it doesn't work so good. Because that should be on a more, it should be something that's dynamic, regularly functioning. So the Vedic sees that it's regularly functioning, if you understand the Vedic. Most will say, oh, the Vedic doesn't, there's nothing there, there's no sentiment, there's no nothing. That's not Vedic. That's the Malecha's view of what is Vedic. In other words, I am the center of the, I'm the controller and enjoyer. So the Vedic just says that, you know, the husband's the man, and, you know, it's all according to him. And I like that part of it. And so therefore, all these other things are a trouble, so therefore we drop all that, and that's Vedic. So was that Vedic? No, that's not Vedic, and it's not even, you know, not even the modern. That's, I don't know what that is. You know, it, probably even medieval would not even, you know, medieval would probably be better than that. Right? You know what I'm saying? So this is just an excuse to not be properly interactive. So is that work? Yeah. Okay. Whereas the Grihamedi's business is to repeatedly chain himself to so-called family life in one life after another and perpetually remain in the darkness of Maya. Right? So therefore it's recommended to use the Grihastha system rather than the Grihamedi. It means you can be living a lifestyle as a Grihamedi but have strong sadhana in, you know, a certain portion of the day. It will drag you along. But it doesn't mean life will be nice. Right? It's just like this. You either follow religion or you'll create religion. Right? Like samskaras. That's a time to get together, invite people, dress up, have nice food, and it's something pious. Right? How many make programs like that? How many people are always inviting others over to their homes and doing stuff, right? No. So therefore, what do? We create the, whatever it is it Saturday or Sunday? The market.
Sunday.
Okay, my town it was Saturday. So
Saturday.
It's Saturday. It's Saturday. Oh, it is Saturday market. See? Saturday.
Sunday.
She said Sunday.
Oh, it's Sunday.
It's Saturday. And in this corner. Okay. So whatever it is, whether it's Saturday or Sunday, then...
It's on the weekend.
It's on the weekend, yes. The weekend program. Then it's there. Then everyone can get together, bring a little bit of food, you know, sit around, talk, this and that. You know, someone can sit down there with a guitar and try to show the world, you know, their latest, you know, ecstasies. You know, all this kind of stuff can all happen. Right? Wow. We found something stronger than Colum. Fan. Okay. So that is that if you don't follow the Vedic, then you have to create your own. And then you say, you know, what is this thing? Oh, but it's community, you know, you don't appreciate people coming together, this and that. Yeah, but they normally wouldn't the Vedic thing, right? You know what I'm saying? Like you take an Indian community, do they have to have a weekend market to get together? No, they have so many other things that they're doing.
Every day.
Yeah, it's always happening. Does that make sense? So that's the thing. So you either follow religion or you'll create it. You can't function without religion. Right? But, at least, you know, in this case, people are getting together. But to consider that that's therefore the standard, no, that's a step in the right direction. In other words, the principle is the interaction of devotees. And then you're using a modern detail to accompany it. Because one doesn't understand that the Vedic detail does that on a much greater amount. You know what I'm saying? The difference, though, is instead of cooking for 5 people, I have to cook for, 50. Right? So that's the problem. The attached householder remains in his family life. Right? Because householder is the generic term. Now, within householder life, you can be a grihasta or a grihamedi. So householder and grihasta are not necessarily synonymous. Right? A grihasta is a householder. A grihamedi is a householder. It's just a matter of what's the mentality, whether Krishna's the center or not. Right? And it's not a matter of judging. It's a matter of applying it in your own life. That's the whole thing. Right? The attached householder remains in his family life, which is full of diplomacy and politics. Right? Because it's always about he wants to get this, or he tries to deal this way, she wants to get that, she's dealing that way. You know, the kids, then they all want their things, and they're using the mother and father against each other. You know, it's some serious politics here. Always spreading miseries and controlled by acts of sense gratification, right? Always spreading miseries. Because you're miserable, then why shouldn't the rest of the world be miserable? Yes, we should share, right? You know. Okay. He acts just to counteract the reactions of all his miseries. So he's just trying to get rid of the miseries that come up that are due to his actions. Right? Instead of doing something positive that doesn't generate reactions or miseries, he's just trying to counteract the miseries because he wants to do the activities that generate the miseries. Right? But it's not supposed to generate the miseries in his mind, so therefore he's trying to counteract it. And if he can successfully counteract such miseries, he thinks he is happy. He secures money by committing violence here and there. And although he employs it in the service of his family, he himself eats only a little portion of the food thus purchased. And he goes to hell for those whom he earned the money in such an irregular way. Right? So he does all this to enjoy family life, and he never really enjoys. That's the fun part of Maya, is that there's the illusion that you will enjoy, and then she makes sure that you really don't. But you're always thinking, I will, so therefore, if I just get rid of this problem, then I'll enjoy. Just that problem, then I'll enjoy. And then, I'm not sure. Is that coming up, the chapters here where we have the guy in the bed and all the family members standing around? Oh, that's coming up. Okay, great. These are fun chapters. In his purport to verse 10, Srila Prabhupada explains that the material world is so made that unless one becomes a clever diplomat, his life will be a failure. Not to speak of human society, even the society of lower animals, the birds and bees, cleverly manages its bodily demands by eating, sleeping, and mating. Human society competes nationally or individually, and in the attempt to be successful, the entire human society becomes full of diplomacy. So that's why Pranamoy is about diplomacy. That's why it's called political correctness. It's political. It's how to be correct on the political platform. That's the direct translation of political correctness. Right? It's not something glorious. It's what all politicians use. And in this case, it's what family members use. They know if they say it this way, they'll get it done. They come up and say, Mommy, you know how much you love us all? And like that, yes, of course, dear, And you know how you always want to see us happy? Yeah, okay, what are you getting at? So we would be so happy if you would allow us to do that. Right. That's politics. You just come over and say, Mom, I'm going over to this person's house and I'm going to do this. And the mom, what do you mean you're going to do this? So therefore it has to be politically presented, diplomatically presented. Does that make sense? So that's pranamoy. How to cooperate with others for sense gratification, your own and for others. That's what it is. That's why pranamoy, unless it's bumped up into manamoy, that you have a sense of duties and performance of those duties on a sustained basis, then it's just politics. It's just politics, economics, justice, sense gratification. Right? Because its purpose is sense gratification. Extended sense gratification still is sense gratification. Does that make sense? I eat with my fingers. I'm eating, right? Now let's say I hold a fork and I eat. Am I still eating? What if I get some chopsticks? It's even farther away. Am I still eating? Right? So extended sense gratification is still bottom line sense gratification. Just I'm willing to be diplomatic about it. Right? And for the diplomacy not to sound bad, then I have to throw in some niceties. Some isms, you know, some like this. Like, you know, some liberty, fraternity, equity. Like, I have to throw that in. Then my diplomacy sounds good. But that's it. So, in other words, I want sense gratification, but to do it on a nice way, then we need economics to get enough facility that we can all enjoy. Right? Otherwise, we'd just be running around clubbing each other over the head, you know, with our wooden clubs, and then going back to our caves. Right? So it's just how we can, you know, how you say, build high-rise caves, you know. Right? Yeah. We should always remember that in spite of all diplomacy and all intelligence and the struggle for our existence, everything will end in a second by the supreme will. There is a Bengali proverb. The person for whom I have stolen accuses me of being a theft. I mean it being a thief. Yes. Yeah. How are you a theft? You have to be a thief, right? Yeah. Where did I get that? Oh, because the following is a T. Right? Yeah. The family members for whom an attached person acts in so many criminal ways are never satisfied. Right? So they're always going to criticize him. Like that. In illusion, an attached person serves such family members, and by serving them, he is destined to enter into a hellish condition of life. For example, a thief steals something to maintain his family, and he is caught and imprisoned. This is the sum and substance of material existence, an attachment to material society, friendship, and love. So he's saying this is the sum and substance, so that's basically what's happening. You follow the Vedic rules, then you're a pious thief. You recognize that it belongs to God and then connect it back to Krishna. Then, now you're not a thief anymore. Right? So this applies to thieving whether you're following or not. Does that make sense? But why we're mentioning this is because of the principle we're discussing, grihastha life. Grihastha life is there because the desire to fulfill desires. Right? So that means then you follow the forms that make it possible. But even then, it still belongs to Krishna. The body belongs to Krishna, therefore it has to be used accordingly. Right? The family members belong to Krishna, it has to be used accordingly. Then everything works. Yes?
So, externally looks like within...
I'm just thinking, you know, under the fan, the brain starts working, cooled down. Yes.
Internally, it looks like... The result will be like Krishna consciousness.
Yes, the point is it's just like this. How? Okay, let's say you want to write something. Okay, how do you write something? You don't know. Means okay. What means you pull out your bolero, cut your finger, and then put it on the paper, And then now that's written. People take you seriously now. So now your contract will work. You want to write, then how do you write? Okay, and then is there a particular way you hold a pen? You grab it in your teeth, use your toes, you know, grab it like this, grab it like this. You know what I'm saying? There's a now, writing like that, let's say you're writing like this now, okay? And just taking it, let's say, for example, someone joined Krishna consciousness and took up practice of Krishna consciousness after they learned to write. Yeah? Could you relate to that? Okay. So, does the technique that you hold the pen change? That's the point. Because we're taking it that, like the Mayavadis, that spiritual material is this way, spiritual has to be different. Right? Does that make sense? You know, Moses is just a guy, he has a particular, a general hairdo. Now he goes up on Sinai, comes down, he's all spiritual, now he's got to have this ridiculous pompadour. Right? Because spiritual is different than material. No, the form of it's the same. Now, if you're living a Malecha lifestyle, you might make some adjustments. Right? You might, you know, decide maybe it's time to get rid of that turkey in the refrigerator. Right? Or in the deep freeze. Right? You know, so therefore then... No? Okay. So, there might be some things like that, but food doesn't disappear. Right? And the whole point of putting it in your mouth, eating, chewing, swallowing, you know, all these things, it remains. So, therefore, you just use the more purified systems. That's the Vedic system. Right?
Sometimes we think that by being in the bodies and doing our duties, should be less suffering, or maybe even no suffering, but doing the duties at home, still...
The point is if you're doing the duties consistently, the suffering already is in the duties. That's why it's called penance and austerity. Doing the duties is austerity. Then the suffering that comes from it, that's called penance. You understand? You know, Prabhupada gives the example of cooking in the summer or taking bath in the winter. So that I'm doing it, that's the austerity. The suffering that comes from it, that's the penance. You understand? So therefore, then outside of that, then life is better. You understand? But we're thinking is that it won't be hot in the summer, it won't be this, everything will just be perfect. Right? But generally, that consistent thing that nothing changes, it's always the same, that's called being in a bottle of formaldehyde in some, you know, museum somewhere. Everything stays the same, it never changes. Does that make sense? Okay? So, the point is we're thinking that there'll be no suffering anywhere, but then where is that? That's only in Brahman. So that's why we say it's an impersonal concept. But as discussed before, is if you're committed to the duties and you want to do them, then the suffering from it's not a problem. You know what I'm saying? Let's say we just take going to the temple, look around the temple, find one of the girls that likes to dress up and look pretty, okay? Wouldn't be a hard thing to do, right? No, okay. Then let's say we go over to her and hand her a bag that weighs 5 kilos and says, you have to carry this around all day. Is she going to be happy? No. Now what happens if she's married, she has a child? She'll carry it around all day happily. You understand? So that's the whole point, is that if you want to do something, then it's not a problem. So if you want to follow the rules and that, because you see the benefit, it's not a problem that they create, because everything is trouble. There's no such thing as no trouble. You know, it's like that, you know. The, you know, lady's been out, you know, for the day, that something's been happening, it's been a really tough day. She comes home in the evening, you know, as she walks in the door, the husband very obviously pushes the button on the microwave like that with a big grin on his face. 2 minutes later, then he gets out and says, I made you dinner. Are you going to be impressed? Okay, wrong example again. Yeah. Yeah, okay, yeah, okay. So after working hard all day, you come home, and then he goes, where's dinner? It's late. Okay, yeah, okay, there we go. Okay, so... Okay, so, but what I'm saying is now if he had gone out, gone to the market, bought things, cooked a dinner and everything, you can see that, you know, there's things, the table's set nice, then you say, wow, this is something special. Right, so what is it? It's the effort. Effort means trouble. You know what I'm saying? Yes? No? Yeah. So now, trouble done with the proper attitude, now that's what we're looking for. Yeah, but at least the proper attitude, like you said before, at least, okay, it's something, you know, then. Does that make sense? You know, so the attitude, then that's good. You know what I'm saying? So of the two, the primary is more important than the secondary. But now if you can get the two to match, you know what I'm saying? You know, like we were discussing one day, we were talking something good. So it's about the most important thing, you know, you say, so is then, it came up this morning, you know, so person's a devotee and all that. And they said, yes. So it's not about the guy, if he's a millionaire or, you know, looks like Shah Rukh Khan or something like that. And then all the girls just stopped and were kind of like thinking. And I says, but at the same time, as if he's a devotee and a millionaire. And then they all went, yes. So that was fun. Right? So in other words, the externals are to back it up, but they're only to express the primary. So if that primary is there, then the secondary has more meaning. But if you only have secondary, then you're going to look at better quality secondary, less. You know what I'm saying? Just like, let's say the child, you know, sits there, takes a crayon and draws something kind of strange on the piece of paper, and then hands it to mommy. Okay? Now, is there a lot of technique there? You can definitely see, you know, here, this is the next Van Gogh here, right, you know? Like that, you know. But they have both ears, but, you know, we'll work on that, right? Okay? Huh? Sorry? Next Picasso. Okay, yeah, something a little more... accessible, right? Like that. Does that make sense? Okay, so it's not about the technique because it's about affection. Okay, but for others' cases, then you expect there to be, because there's more experience, you expect the better quality of the secondary items. Right? Right? So, in other words, then you expect that the husband for your birthday is going to actually give you a Picasso. Not bad, right? You understand? So that's the thing. It's developed. Now it's just about the externals, but there's no mood. Nobody likes it.
No, we like the Picasso.
Yeah, but that's why the thing is that's why the rule is when there's the divorce, you get all those, you keep the house, keep all the things, keep the lifestyle. That part is okay. It's just, you know. Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah.
That was very funny.
Very?
Very funny. I was sharing with her.
Yeah, no, because the point is if you're talking about... Look at it this way. If you look at it from the Vedic sense, it makes more sense. If you look from the modern, it makes no sense at all. Okay. Now, if we take 10, a volume of 10, how much of that does the woman require?
10. 9.
Okay, 10. Okay, she gets 10. how much of it can the guy utilize as long as he's careful? One, right? You know. Okay. So that was what he can call his, as long as he uses it and keeps it the way she says. Okay. Okay. So now, technically, then, if there is the thing of divorce, how should it be divided? Ideally, 10 and 0, but okay, we'll get by with 90 and 10. So therefore, if you're doing 50-50, you're doing great. Be happy. You know. And, you know, but California, I think, is 70-30. Yeah, that's why they always go over to Nevada. Okay? Okay. And on this pleasant note...
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Śrīla Prabhupāda ki, Jai Sarvadvaita Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nidai Gaura.
I was wondering, I had a difficulty understanding one part of what you were explaining today in regards of... marriage, the experience of the couple. We were discussing when we had a little break about how is this that in a marriage you were saying something, or maybe I'm not expressing it right, but my understanding came to be like couples can relate with each other and they can realize different aspects of God. Like you I think basically you said something in the aspect of Brahman and the aspect of Paramatma and the aspect of Bhagavan.
Yes.
And how sometimes if couples, like somebody was saying, if they only kind of like relate on the nature of how the behavior of a woman of a man, if they only get to that level, it's kind of like relating in the level of Paramatma, or did
Brahman.
I get it? Brahman. Maharaj, I just wanted to, if you please could elaborate a little more, because I'm a little confused. I didn't really understand the whole...
Where are you from?
I'm from Ecuador in South America.
Ecuador.
Yes.
So the point is that there's an inherent nature, right? You have the universal form, so all the natures of all entities are already defined there. Then, according to our karma... our mentality, then we are given those facilities according to that mentality we have. So we're taking already principles from the universal form, right? So it's not technically us, it's from the universal form.
In the sense of, for example, a woman comes in this form of a body of a woman with a certain mentality. For example, she's a nourisher or she's the nature.
Yeah, but where does the concept of nourishment come from?
You're explaining it comes from that universal form.
Yes, that's so Krishna's already created that the concept, the feminine nature, that's how it functions.
Okay.
Right? So if you're seeing just that functioning of it, then you're working on the Brahman platform. You're seeing what are the duties between man and woman, then you're working on the Paramatma platform.
How is that? When you're seeing the duties, Paramatma, how is
it? Means to seeing the duties, means you're functioning, this is as a man, I'm supposed to do these duties. As the wife, I'm supposed to do these duties. Then you're following the Dharma. Right? So that's the Paramatma platform. That you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, because that's it. Paramatma is creating, maintaining, destroying. So everything's supposed to run the way it's supposed to run. He's the judge. He's the seer. He's the. But you're still here, right? Bhagavan means I'm doing this because it will please God as a person. That's bhakti. So that's then functioning on the spiritual platform, the transcendental platform.
So we could say that in our marriage, for example. If we only remain thinking, oh, I'm a woman, I must, this is what I need to do only, and this is enough. Like, say, for example, I don't know, to be a mother and forget about God or forget about devotional service, but just remain, like, like you see today, many women, they think that their duty is just to like be a woman, like raise the children, or you know, do some of these.
Yeah, but they're just doing on the things that work.
Right.
So how they raise a child, let's say in Ecuador, will be different necessarily than in Venezuela or Argentina.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So that they're just functioning on the Vermont platform, though they don't even understand that that's what's happening. So what I was talking about, those who can understand that's happening. For those who don't understand or follow the Vedic culture, they don't even know this is what's going on. It's going on, but that's what's going on. You know what I'm saying? So they're functioning in a particular way according to their conditioning. So they're doing that, but the point is they're doing it only out of attachment. And so they'll be bound up.
Right.
Like that. So the point is you're doing that because then to please Krishna, then you'll get, you know, with detachment, then you get liberated.
And what is the line that determines that Brahman and the Paramatma is? To me, it sounds pretty similar, isn't it? Nature to behavior.
Yes, but one is the rules of the nature, and others are just the mechanics of the nature.
The rules of nature and mechanics.
It's just like this. Let's say you're following the recipe.
Okay.
And it says, stir this, you know. But what's the technique of stirring? How do you stir? You understand? So the stirring's the Brahman. That you're supposed to be stirring.
Is that where emotions come in? Where more of the subtle aspects?
It functions on that platform also. It functions on all levels because Brahman is what's all pervading. Everything is what's, everything's made out of Krishna's qualities. Right? So it says. See, the thing is, what you have to worry about is that whatever you're doing, try to connect it to Krishna. That's what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
Because if this stuff doesn't make sense in one sitting, don't worry about it. This is the end of the fifth year in a, you know, of a course. So that's why then for others, then I say that they understand, because this point that you're asking, that's weeks and weeks of discussion.
Right.
Okay. So the main thing is you just connect it to Krishna. That's where you get the whatever benefit is to be gained on the material platform will be gained, but you'll be gaining the spiritual benefit at the same time. If you only focus on the material, then at best you'll only get the material. And most, unless they're performing their duties nicely, they don't even get that. You know, like just take, let's say we go into, you know, a village or a small town there in Ecuador. And you have some traditional families and they live the traditional Ecuadorian lifestyle. They have their values, how they deal with the family members and all this, right? But now you probably have some big cities where people are trying to be very modern, right? And they have more facilities, more money, more fancy everything. But there's a good chance, as far as actually tasting the relationships in family, those people living in the village following the traditional lifestyle are getting more of it than those city people. Because they're following the tradition. Right? And what is tradition? What works? So this isn't something that just some intellectual came up and had an idea and therefore now it's something different. You know, some editorials written, there's on a few talk shows, you know, something different in the movies. And so then people think, oh, this is great. Why is it? It's like this. You drive somewhere in the movie. What do they drive somewhere in? A car. Right? Now, depending on the position, it's this and that. You don't even have to worry about it. It's there, right? But the points that bring out, they'll focus on some new concept of social, you know? Like, now it's not, but it was very popular, you could say, kind of like early 2000s, the mid-2000s, that the element of being a vegetarian was quite a popular thing. Now they don't even bring it up anymore. You know what I'm saying? It's just something to do, or, you know, the element of the equality, or, you know, something, whatever they think, or the guy's the one changing the diapers, or that. So you'll see that happen in every movie until everyone gets bored of that. So they're trying to, okay, well, if we do that, that's what's going to... So that's the problem. That then it doesn't work, because it's not functioning according to the tradition. Now, what the tradition that's going on in that village, what is that based on? Hundreds and hundreds of years of what works and doesn't work. You know what I'm saying? That's why it works. So it's not necessarily there from coming from the religious background or this and that, and much of it does. Right? But it comes from just what works. Now the point is what works in the world is if you're following the laws of nature, right? And that's why it works. You follow the laws, it works. You observe it, you figure it out. It may take you a while to figure it out. You know what I'm saying? You come into the house with mud on your shoes, you get yelled at. You know? You wash your shoes before you come into the house, then fine. If not, take them off. Right? So generations of men coming into the house with mud on the feet and getting yelled at, then they figure out, don't walk into your house with mud on your shoes. And so now that becomes the standard. And now for the last so many hundreds of years, men don't walk into the house with mud on their shoes. Right? It's a law of nature, because women don't like mud all over the house. Does that make sense? Yeah. So therefore, and why is that? Because that's the nature of women. Who created that? That's God. So all they've done is observe the law of nature that God created. But they don't attribute it to God. They don't understand the Vedic culture. But they're following because that's what works. Does that make sense? And so if people don't know why it's there, just like, let's say, take for example, why if you go back 100, 150 years, 200 years, why do men wear cloth, fine cloth around their necks? Right? You look at these old pictures and they all have cloth around their neck. And because it keeps the wind off their neck, they don't get sick, and also it's something easier to wash than your shirt. Right? So if it gets dirty, it's an easy thing to wash a little piece of thin cloth. Now a shirt, now that's a whole trip. Right?
Washing the collar, especially.
Yeah. Or if you do have it, then you have these removable collars, because they can, you know what I'm saying? So then as time goes, then that slowly, they do it nice, they tie a bow, everybody likes that, then it turns into a bow tie, then it turns into something else, and this and that, then you have the tie that you have nowadays. But the tie nowadays, in some ways, a little bit will keep your throat a bit warm, but people don't really know, so now the whole thing is you have it untied, the shirt unbuttoned, so your throat's exposed because they don't know what it's for, but it's still left over from before. Before it was a practical thing, and you made it look nice. In other words, you did practical things that you made look nice. You understand? So that's just observing the laws of nature, and that's the Brahman platform. So the problem is in the modern society, they don't even have the benefit of that tradition. So they don't even come up, they don't even get that benefit, so they just suffer. But they're the ones that think that, you know, the world's going to be better and they're going to be great.